Well, we are in 1 Corinthians, and we are in chapter 12. And Paul's going to be answering another question that the Corinthian church has for him about spiritual gifts. We know the Corinthian church, though saved, operated many times out of carnality. And yet they were gifted. They had the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They had the ability to be able to prophesy. We've already read that in chapter 11. The women prophesied. The men prophesied. There were gifts operating in the church. And yet they were a church that jockeyed for positions within the church. They struggled by elevating others, elevating other apostles and other speakers and, comparing them with one another. So we know that there were some real issues in the church and sexual dysfunctions, all kinds of things. But what I love, and I've said this over and over again, is the way that Paul fathered this church. He just didn't abandon them. He didn't walk away from them. But when they were out of alignment and they needed assistance, he fathered them and realign them back into the purposes of God's heart. And so when we get to chapter 12, he's once again going to answer some of the questions. Remember that Paul visited this church several times, and he also sent Timothy and Titus to this church with correspondence. And he's trying to just help them to mature and grow in their relationship with Jesus and to allow the Holy Spirit to apply the Word of God to their life so that they can live out the gospel of Jesus Christ in their own everyday life. And when we get to chapter 12, he's going to discuss spiritual gifts. And in fact, he's going to discuss spiritual gifts. For us, it comes in chapters. But for this correspondence, it was a letter. So in chapters 12, 13, and 14 is all about spiritual gifts. It's all about spiritual gifts, how to operate in the spiritual gifts, that we're to operate in those gifts out of love, right? Love for one another, that those gifts were meant to operate for the building up of the body so that we can all reach oneness in the faith. That's Ephesians. These gifts were given to the church to assist one another and to help one another and to aid one another. And this is God's desire, is that the church operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if I've seen a demise in anything, being in the Pentecostal church all of my life, I've really seen a demise in the operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And of course, the gifts must operate along with the character of Christ, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, lest you have the same problems that Corinthians is having, right? There were jealousies, there were factions, there were all of these situations going on with the church. That's a result of not allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide and to transform and to sanctify our lives and to allow the fruit of the Holy Spirit to come forth in our lives in such a way that when the gifts operate, you know, this one over here is not jealous because they're prophesying over here, and that one over there is not angry because this one up here is speaking. And, you know, and so Paul is bringing order to this church, and he's also teaching them that the gifts were meant to be brought forth in love and that they were meant to be a blessing to the body so that the body can mature, so that they can reach oneness in the faith, so that we can love one another with the different gifts and the variety of gifts that he gave to the church. The Holy Spirit is the gift of God to us. The Holy Spirit is the gift of God. You cannot buy the Holy Spirit. You cannot earn the Holy Spirit. It is the gift of God through Christ. And so we're so grateful to have the Holy Spirit. And I'm just praying, and I've been praying, that as we teach on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that would kindle a flame inside of you. And that the fire of the Holy Spirit and the gifts that God has placed in you, the supernatural endowments of power, the grace gifts that God has given you will begin to flow in your life, and that you will operate in those and have the courage and the boldness to operate in the spiritual gifts, and that through the a character development of our own hearts by surrendering to the Holy Spirit and by the fruit of the Holy Spirit operating in our life, we can flow in the Holy Spirit and appreciate it without being divisive or competitive or having any types of jealousy in the body. And so we want to look at this as Paul is giving it to the Corinthian church, and he's doing this, he's bringing order to the church. He's going to sum up all of this in chapter 14, and he's going to give us an overview. But for right now, let's focus right here on the chapter 12, and he's going to talk about spiritual gifts. And I just want to say that when once again we come to this, Paul is answering questions from the Corinthian church regarding spiritual gifts and the workings of the Holy Spirit and the grace gifts to men and women of faith. And if you don't think that they're relevant for today, they are relevant. In fact, I think we're coming to a time in history where the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the need to be filled to the fullest measure of God's divine presence will be extremely important as we move closer and closer to the end time events and to things that are coming. I think the need to be able to have the gifts in operation will be very essential to us. It's very important that we receive the Holy Spirit and we receive the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, the grace gifts that God has given us. So from the time of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts until the end times events leading to the return of Christ, the Holy Spirit's role of equipping and enabling men and women of faith will absolutely be essential. And we know this because in Acts 2:17, it mentions again the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, how important it will be in the last days. And I think I want to read that to you to just establish the importance of the role of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are those that say that the gifts of the Spirit are non-operational right now, that they're not needed. And I just reject that, as the Bible never dismisses that flowing and gifting of his people through the Holy Ghost and through the different manifestations of the Spirit. But when we, in fact, it even says that as we get closer to the end times, we're going to see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, because as it gets darker and darker around us, it's going to be more important for us to be able to flow in the Holy Spirit. And so let's read Acts 2 and verse 17. And it shall come to pass that in the last days, okay, the last days, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, telling forth the divine counsels of God, and your young men shall see visions, divinely granted appearances, and your old men shall dream divinely suggested dreams. Yes, and on my men servants also, and on my maid servants, so it's male and female, in those days I will pour out of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, telling forth the divine counsels and predicting future events pertaining especially to God's kingdom. And I will show wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and smoking vapor. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the obvious day of the Lord comes, and great and notable and conspicuous and renowned day of the Lord's return. And it shall be that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, invoking, adoring, and worshiping the Lord Christ, shall be saved. So you can see just by this text, though it's not singled out as its own, but not only was there an outpouring in Jerusalem in the beginning of this book in Acts, and this is what Peter is quoting, but he says in the last days, as we get closer to the return of Christ, there's going to be an increase of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And I'm just going to tell you, it's because it's necessary. We're living in a very dark world, and we need the Holy Spirit of God active in our life. We were meant to be led by the Holy Spirit, not our carnal nature. And the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit are from God. And they were given to us so that we would live a life different than all the people on the face of the earth. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons and the daughters of God. So it's very important that we submit our lives every day unto the Holy Spirit. It's a voluntary submission. It's a surrendering of our life every day to the will of God and to the Spirit's leading. It takes a tender heart and a servant's heart and a humble heart to deny the flesh, but to release the Spirit and be led by the Spirit, right? And it cuts against the grain of our carnal nature, right? Because our flesh wants to lead. That's why Jesus said it's imperative that we take up our cross how many times? Daily. Daily. I can't live off that yesterday. I have to take up my cross today and allow the Spirit of God to lead me every day of my life. And when the Spirit is leading, He leads you into holiness. He leads you into truth. He reveals things to you by supernatural divine power and revelation. And it's a different way of life. And He talks even here in this text about the giving of supernatural dreams and visions and all of these things that will reveal Christ. The Holy Spirit reveals Christ. In our life, He reveals Christ. In the church, He reveals Christ. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes, this is in John, He says, He will testify of me, Jesus said. So the gifts and the fruit are the very gifts and the fruit of Christ Himself, God's Spirit living inside of us. What a precious, precious gift He has given us. He planted His seed, His divine nature, His sperm in us to reproduce the character and the nature of Christ Himself in our life. That's why when people look at you and they hear you speaking or they get around you, they say, that person's been with Jesus. That person's different. And we're being transformed, right? So there's areas in my life where I'm not completely finished yet, right? That old song, He's still working on me to make me what He ought to be. He's still working on us. But John was right. The more we decrease, the more God increases in us. And the more God increases in us, the more we reflect the character and the nature of God. And the more releasing of God's Spirit through us, along with the gifts, the grace gifts that come from the one Holy Spirit. Amen. What a powerful gift the Lord has given us in the Holy Spirit of God. And we're going to need the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is not just talk. Remember, we quoted that in 1 Corinthians 4:20. It's demonstration of God's power. It's not just talk. There should be demonstration of God's power in your life. The changes inside that are being reflected outside. and the supernatural endowments that God has given you through the Holy Spirit should be active. Do you have dreams? Do you have visions from the Lord? Does God speak to you? What gifts has He given you through the Holy Spirit? As we go through these, I pray that you'll just say, Lord, I want the Spirit of the Lord to flow through me, through the gifts that you have given me by the Holy Spirit. And I want you to have your way. And even in these teachings, Paul's going to say, pray that you will prophesy and pray that you will operate in this gift or that or in this way. And we have the right even then to ask God to fill us with the gift of prophecy. And, these things, many are, even in the Pentecostal church, they're starting to question. They're starting not to flow in these gifts. They kind of squished out the Spirit. And, that saddens me greatly because the power of the Lord has diminished in the house of the Lord as we've shoved out the Holy Spirit and became more man-centered and program-centered instead of flowing in the Spirit of God and operating in the Spirit. So I'm just going to read of chapter 12 from 1 to 11. And I'm going to read it in the Amplified. It's a little wordy in the Amplified, so I'm going to go a little bit slower. But I felt like it was better expressed in the Amplified than in the New Living Translation. So chapter 12, verse 1. Now about the spiritual gifts, the special endowments of supernatural energy. Brethren, I do not want you to be misinformed. Some translations say ignorant. I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were heathen, you were led off after idols that could not speak as impulse directed and whenever the occasion might arise. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit of God can ever say, Jesus be cursed. And no one can really say, Jesus is my Lord, except by and under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit. Now there are distinctive varieties and distributions of endowments, gifts, extraordinary powers distinguishing certain Christians due to the power of divine grace operating in their souls by the Holy Spirit, and they vary, but the Holy Spirit remains the same. And there are distinctive varieties of service and ministration, but it is the same Lord who is served. And there are distinctive varieties of operation, of working to accomplish things, but it is the same God who inspires and energizes them all in all. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit for good and profit. To one is given in and through the Holy Spirit the power to speak a message of wisdom. And to another, the power to express a word of knowledge and understanding according to the same Holy Spirit. To another, wonder-working faith by the same Holy Spirit. To another, the extraordinary powers of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the workings of miracles. To another, prophetic insight, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and to another the ability to discern and distinguish between the utterances of true spirits and false ones, to another various kinds of unknown tongues, and to another the ability to interpret such tongues. All these gifts, achievements, abilities are inspired and brought to pass by one and the same Holy Spirit who apportions to each person individually exactly as He chooses. And And we're going to stop right there. So it is God who gives these supernatural endowments by the Holy Spirit. And he brings these gifts into our lives. Let's go just a little bit and talk about verses 1 through 3. I just want to give a little info on that. Paul presents a contrast between the Corinthians' former life as pagans. Remember, we've talked about how they came out of paganism, out of idolatry, out of the world, and they've been transformed into the likeness of Christ. They're to be transformed by the power of God through the Holy Spirit. And so he talks about this, and it may seem a little strange to us, but in the pagan culture, it was nothing to curse other gods. Okay, so-called gods or curse people. That's a part of pagan rituals even today. They believe they have the power to curse and the power to put curses on people. And it's a part of the rituals of that paganism of witchcraft and idolatry. It all goes hand in hand. So he's giving them some guidelines and he's saying, look, nobody who is born again of Christ can curse Jesus. Okay, so that's something that's very important for them to know because they're coming out of paganism and they're coming unto Christ. And he's saying, and no one can say that Jesus is the Lord of my life except through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the Lord. The Lord means he's the Lord of my life. He is the master of my life. He is the king of my life. I submit my will to him, and he leads me. So he's telling them the difference, so they will know the difference. God's Spirit would never empower anyone to declare, may Jesus be damned or cursed, but rather the Spirit empowers the saving confession that Jesus is Lord. He's reminding his Corinthian audience that the primary work of the Holy Spirit is to create faith and declare the lordship of Jesus in the life of a believer. And this is where we get to where Jesus talked about this in John 15 and John 16, because Jesus made it plain, saying that when the Holy Spirit would come, he would testify of Christ. He would testify of him. He said, he will testify of me, and he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to glorify and to represent Jesus, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit given to the church are to aid one another and glorify Christ, right? So there are very distinctive varieties of gifts and distributions of these endowments of power, and they are supernatural. They're supernatural. When he talks about a word of wisdom, it's not human wisdom. It is divine, supernatural wisdom that only God can give. And these workings of power, this distribution of power, these grace gifts by the one Holy Spirit that's been given to the church were meant to glorify God and to build up the body and to aid one another, but they are supernatural in their nature. They're just supernatural because it's the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us. So that is extremely important. Here the Greek word, which Paul uses, is almost non-existent beyond the Pauline epistles. And so these supernatural powers, this distribution, this endowments of the gifts, Paul's using these words. And they come, it is the word charismata, which comes from our English word, charismatic. This is where you hear charismatic mentioned. It's the super endowment of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The charisma, the grace gifts of God that have been distributed in the church. And many times they'll say it's a charismatic church. What does that mean? It means it operates in the grace gifts of the Holy Spirit of God. That means there are manifestations of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit in that church. There's the gift of healing operating. There's the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues. There's the gift of prophecy. And these are operating in a charismatic church. That's where it comes from. It's typically translated as gifts or grace gifts, as the Blue Letter Bible says. It is important to note, however, that the rare word is connected with the Greek word charis, which is meaning grace gifts. They've been given by God. They're grace gifts to the church, which means that no one can claim them as their own possession. They're not a product of one's talents or abilities in the natural. You understand? These are the endowments of God, supernatural power of God, the grace gifts of God given to God's people by the Holy Spirit. And that is supernatural. These are supernatural gifts. And it's so important that as we get closer to the return of Christ, that we return back to the foundation of being filled with the Holy Spirit and being operating in the character of Christ, so that the gifts of God can operate in the church in a proper manner, in a way that builds up the church and builds up God's people and helps one another and glorifies Christ. It's going to be essential. How many has ever had a supernatural, spiritual dream from God? God gave you a spiritual dream, a supernatural dream. He was speaking to you in your dream. These things are from God. It's His way of communicating supernatural truths or hidden things that you wouldn't have known by your own intellect. I love the Holy Spirit because He speaks to us in many different ways. And I love that in the last days He promises that He's going to pour out His Spirit. And that's why you're starting to get and you're hearing more and more dreams from people. They're having more and more dreams, more and more visions. And the way that you can check those is to make sure that they're glorifying God. In other words, that you're turning to Christ and that He's revealing things to you that have something to do about Christ and your walk with God, right? He's speaking things to you that are important for your life. And I've had many times that He would give me dreams, that He would show me things, that He would give me warnings in dreams about attacks from the enemy that would be coming against me. And He would warn me in advance. I want a God who has supernatural power to be able to speak to me, talk to me, show me things that this world cannot tell me. I just don't want to go to CNN and get all my information of the coming events of life. I just don't want to go to the news sources. You hear a lot of people going to the news sources right now, and they're getting all these informations. And yes, it's important that we be aware of world events. But let me tell you, just like this morning when the Holy Spirit came on me to pray for Israel, there's a reason. It's supernatural. I may not in my mind understand why I had such tears streaming down my face praying for Israel, but there's a reason for it. And there's things that are happening that you want God to speak to you with, and you want to agree with God for His will to be done. You want to be so close to God that He can flow through you in a way that will give glory to God and it will benefit the church. And that's why the Holy Spirit was given to aid us in our life, to assist us, and to help us to walk this life of faith. It is the Holy Spirit that brings about sanctification in the life of a believer, right? So, how we ever need the gifts of the Spirit. Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant of these gifts. But I see that the church sometimes is ignorant of the gifts, and we're not operating in them, and we're not even acknowledging that we have gifts. And I think it's because it's neglected and it's not taught anymore in the churches. We're just not teaching on it, and it's so, so important. There's only two other times that Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant. And guess where one of them is? He said, I don't want you to be ignorant of God's plan for Israel. I don't want you to be ignorant of that. That's in Romans 11:25. And then again, a second time, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant about the second coming of Jesus and the eternal state. So he says, I don't want you to be ignorant of these things. And he says here, I don't want you to be ignorant of the gifts. And isn't it interesting that we're kind of ignorant in all of those places? In his plan for Israel, sometimes we're ignorant. We don't study it. We don't think about it. In the spiritual gifts, sometimes we're ignorant. And in the second coming of Jesus Christ, sometimes we're like, well, that's a long way off. I don't really want to hear about that. You know, I'll just stay right here. But he says, I don't want you to be ignorant. So Paul is a good father, and he's going to teach the church of Corinth, just like I'm going to teach you and many others who will be listening on radio and on Facebook, about the spiritual gifts. So that will be really important. I'm going to use as a study guide one of my favorite teachings. It's called The Gifts of the Spirit 101. And we're just going to go over these. And I'll probably make this a couple times out. So we're going to have a couple Sundays where we're going to be talking about this. Actually, leading up into Palm Sunday and Easter, we're right here in Corinthians. We're going to talk about the Lord and how he was resurrected from the dead, which is even right here in the book of 1 Corinthians. So we're going to be leading up into that time period, but I want to go over some of these gifts. So God's desire is for us to experience the gifts of the Spirit. He wants us to understand their purpose and be effective in their use. And so it's very important that we open up our heart to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the special endowments, the grace gifts that God has given to us. They have not ceased in operation. They are still, as the Holy Spirit is being given, the gifts also have been imparted. And so I'm going to talk about today the revelation gifts, the revelation gifts. So what are the revelation gifts? And they are the making known of information. The making known of information, divine, supernatural information that God is going to give you. So let's start with the word of wisdom, which is mentioned here in the text. A word of wisdom is a word, a proclamation, or a declaration that is supernaturally given by God. Its purpose is to meet the need of a particular future occasion or problem. It is given to a person through words, visions, or dreams. It provides understanding and instruction on what action must be taken. It is not revealed through human ability or natural wisdom. It is God's revelation of his plan and his purpose. So the word of wisdom is supernaturally given by God. It's a proclamation. It's a declaration. It can be a dream or a vision that God is speaking. It could have to do with a future occasion, or it could have to do with a problem that maybe you're dealing with in your own life. And so often the Lord will give me a word of wisdom through a dream, or a vision, or he'll have someone that's gifted in that gifting in the church come and give me a word of wisdom. And it's God telling me something supernatural, something that I need to know, whether it's a problem that I'm going through or whether it's a future event that I may be encountering. There was a time not too long ago, over the past year, where God showed me things in a dream, and he was giving me the word of wisdom on how to handle situations that the enemy was targeting me, and I was going to be dealing with an issue where the enemy was going to try to trap me in things or situations. And the Lord would give me a dream of supernatural wisdom, and he would say, this is how you are to deal with that. So some of you, too, have had those dreams or visions where God's woken you up in the middle of the night and you had a dream and he would give you instruction on how to deal with it. And one of those is one you're going to be familiar with, which is the dream that I had about a python that was trying to get into my home and into the church. And so in this dream, there was this large python. I'm giving you an example of God giving supernatural wisdom and insight into things that I didn't see coming, that I didn't know, but he's giving me a word of wisdom on how to deal. He's going to show me the problem, and he's also going to give me the answer of how to solve the problem. In that dream, the snake was so large, and it was a large python, and it had already devoured people. In the dream, I had that understanding, and it's amazing how God can speak to you in that way in a dream. You already know events that had happened. This python, which is a representation of Satan, a representation of one of the tactics of the enemy, which is to squeeze his people through difficulty, through persecution, through trouble, and it's just to squeeze the life out of them. You know, the Bible says that in the last days, Jesus said they will try to wear out the saints. I think this was also mentioned in Daniel. They're going to try to, the enemy's going to try to wear out the saints and through many things that are going to happen. So this python had already in this dream assaulted people. It had already taken people out. I knew that they had died because of this spirit of the enemy that had come. And it was trying to get into my home, but as it was trying to get into my home, I also saw a vision of the church. And it was trying to get into the church. And its sole intention was to destroy people. And in the dream, there was a particular woman who was there, and she would say, "Oh, don't worry about that snake. Don't worry. It's going to be fine. It's not hurting anybody right now. Just leave it alone." And I knew that that was a spirit of apathy. It was a spirit that says, just don't deal with it right now. You know, it was sometimes you can have empathy for something, but if you give the devil empathy, what's he going to do? He's going to take advantage of the situation. You know, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he comes sometimes as an angel of light to deceive. And he's very subtle and he's very crafty. So in this dream, this woman was saying, "Don't worry about it. Don't deal with it. Just, you know, it's okay. It's not going to hurt anyone." How many know that if we put things off that God has told us to deal with, that thing just grows and grows and grows. And it becomes as big as that serpent. And the Lord wants to help us. So he shows us dreams and visions. He's saying, this is the attack that will come against the body and come against your home. And you're not to have sympathy for it. How many knows that's a word of revelation? That's a supernatural wisdom from God. He's saying, do not have sympathy for this spirit that's going to try to come against you. I saw it, and in my dream, and I'm seeing this, and I'm like, no, this spirit is coming to hurt people. It's coming to devour the saints of God. It's coming to strangle the life out of them, and I need to respond. And in my dream, I was like, it's so large. This is such a big thing. What am I going to do? I don't know what to do. So in my dream, I called 911. Okay, I'm in my dream, I'm calling 911, I'm like, hello, this is the problem, this is the situation, and I'm telling this woman in the dream all about it. I could tell she was an older lady, I could hear it in her voice, and I could tell that she was older, and so I'm telling her all about it, and she said, "Oh, honey, you're going to have to deal with that." And I'm like, "I know, but what do I have to do?" Right? And basically God was saying, you have a tendency, Rebecca, to give empathy to the in areas where you probably need to address it, right? You need to address this. This is something that will hurt the people. And the woman's coming along and saying, you're going to have to pray against that. You're going to have to pray against the spirit of strangulation, of heavy burdens too great to be borne. You're going to have to pray against this spirit. He's giving me by divine supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. He's showing me attacks that are trying to come upon my family, upon the body of Christ. And he's saying, you can't have empathy for it. You're going to have to come against it. And how many know that when I called you all together that day, what did we do? We prayed. We sought the Lord for divine intervention. And we got the wisdom of God and the strategy of God. How many knows that's supernatural? It's by the Holy Spirit. He gave it to me in a dream. Now, some of you right now are already recognizing things in your own life where God has done that for you as well. He showed you things about your children before they happened so you could pray. He gave you an unction in your spirit. John calls it the unction of the Holy Spirit, and gave you a warning, or he sent off an alarm about the nation. I remember on 9/11 that morning, the supernatural power of God apprehended my heart while I was on my way going up my driveway. I always had a pattern every morning. I would drop off my kids at school. I would drive up my driveway. I would stop midway in the driveway, and I would pray. But that morning, alarms were going off, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, "Pray for your nation!" God was giving me supernatural wisdom about an event that I knew nothing about. I didn't know anything about it. It's supernatural. It's divine wisdom from God through the Spirit, and it's to put you into action. It's to cause you to pray or to have the ability through God to know how to handle the situation. In my dream about the python, after we had prayed and God had spoke to me in that way, I later went back to the Lord and I said, "You know, Lord, what about the little old lady? I mean, why was she an older lady? And what did that represent in the dream?" And immediately the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, "That's experience. She had experience on how to handle it. And she was letting you in. You're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to call for a prayer at the church and bring the body together and pray against the darkness of the enemy that would like to squeeze the life out of the people." And God intervened. How many know that's a word of wisdom? Aren't you glad for the super? Listen, without the Holy Spirit, we cannot be changed. We can't be transformed into the image and the likeness of Jesus. Without the Holy Spirit, we don't have these gifts in operation. They are grace gifts to us from God. The Bible says in Ephesians that when God ascended on high, he led a train of vanquished foes. And what did he do? He gave gifts to men. This is his desires, that the church would operate in the Spirit. So the very first revelation, a gift, is the word of wisdom. Now, the second gift is the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge. This is a revelation gift. This is God revealing things, making information known to us that was not known by our natural senses. It's not education. This is supernatural revelation from God, words of knowledge. Catherine Kuhlman operated in great words of knowledge. The Holy Spirit would come, and she depended on the Holy Spirit. She so depended on the Spirit of God for everything that she did. That's why there were such great manifestations of the Holy Spirit in her meetings. She depended on the Holy Spirit. She spoke to him as a dear friend that was a constant companion. She would be in a meeting and they would be worshiping, and she would say, I can't go out there without the Holy Spirit. I have to be endowed from the power of God from on high. The Holy Spirit must arise in me and descend on me. And the Holy Spirit, she would go out there and, the Spirit of the Lord would be in the sanctuary, in this great auditorium or wherever she was, the sanctuary, wherever, and the Holy Spirit would give her words of knowledge. And all of a sudden, she would be operating out of the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. There's someone up there and you're getting a healing from cancer. There's someone over here and you have, all these different things. Supernatural, divine knowledge from God. You're being healed over here from cancer. You're being healed over here from a blood disorder. You're being healed down here. And you see how important. I'm getting all stirred up just talking about it. It's just so important that the body of Christ operate in these gifts appropriately. And so the word of knowledge communicates past or present facts or events. This happened recently while we were praying for a young lady in the church. She was here, and we were all back there together praying. And immediately, the Lord told me something about this young lady that I did not know and said, she got saved as a child, and it was a real change for her. It was real. It was genuine. And I asked her about it because the Holy Spirit, the word of knowledge was coming to me about her as a child. I didn't know her, but God did. If it's human knowledge, just human knowledge, it's not God's Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are supernatural. They show things in the past, just like I saw her as a little child in my heart being saved as a child. They can show present events, and they can show future events. It can't be known through the natural senses. It's not known just information that you heard from somebody else. This is supernatural. They are revealed to the speaker by the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. And their purposes are the edification, the instruction, or correction. Or correction. You say, well, what? What do you mean correction? Well, I can remember myself in particular. And I in my young days following the Lord, just very zealous for the Lord, but being hurt and coming out of church hurt and dealing with different things, sometimes I would need a stronger word of correction. And I remember particularly one day standing at the altar and asking the Lord, they had had an altar call, and there were all kinds of people at the altar, and the speaker comes along and he lays his hands on me and he's like, you need not, you need to submit unto God and not be like a horse that needs a bit. And what he was saying is so much of your carnal nature is leading, right? There's this death to self and death to your own will and death to your way of doing things that needs to take place. And the Lord may put a bit on you for a while, right? To kind of help lead you along until you come to the place of submission, to where you will then be led by the Spirit and not by your carnal nature. It was a revelation that God had given this speaker. And it was a corrective word, but he wasn't mean when he said it. He wasn't cruel when he said it. God showed him something about me. And he didn't know me, but God knew me. And it came across as a corrective word that was ultimately, if I can still remember it today, does that tell you what an effect it had on my life? I needed that. I may not have liked it when I received it, but I needed it. Words of knowledge communicated by the Holy Spirit, the unction of the Holy Spirit, their purposes are to edify, to instruct, or correct. It's very important. And now let's go to the final one in the revelatory gifts. So we have so far in this category of revelatory gifts, there are three. There's a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. This is the supernatural recognition of the presence or activity of spiritual forces, either good or evil. The discerning of spirits. You're able, through the Holy Spirit, to discern an evil spirit or the Spirit of God. You're able even to discern human spirits. You're able to pick up on things that you would have never been able to pick up on had the Spirit of God not be living in you and give you revelation. So this gift is very important, the discerning of spirits. And to be honest, I was saved at a very young age, and this gift, which I had not been taught about, but it was operating in my life when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. As a young girl, I would always discern and pick up demonic spirits. I could feel them. I could sense God's spirit and his presence, and I could also sense demonic spirits. And sometimes I could pick up in the supernatural realm what a human, what a person was going through. The Lord would allow me to discern their heart. They would be weeping, and I would want to weep. I could discern their pain. I could discern their struggle or their joy or their delight. And this is a supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that I remember most about discerning spirits is the way that it worked as a young girl, having just been filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, really knowing nothing about the gift of discerning spirits, right? But picking up on all of this as a little child, it can be really alarming. You don't know what's going on. It was a gift that God had given me, but I didn't even know how that worked, and I didn't really have a lot of teaching. I was just a young child. But in my home life, my daddy would go drink sometimes and do these things that were not good, and then he would come home, and he would bring all of that into our home. And I'm one of seven, and so, you know, my mom was a believer. My dad had backslidden and been in and out of the church several times, and every time he backslid, it seemed to just be worse. Well, as a little child, you know, I remember being in my home, and all of a sudden, my brother and I were in the home. I don't know where mom and dad was, but I could pick up these demonic spirits, and I felt them in the house. And I was downstairs. We had a three-story house, and I was in my basement, and my brother was on the second floor. And when I picked it up in the Holy Spirit, it scared me. I'm like, oh, there's something here. There's something demonic. I feel something evil. And so I started going upstairs to try to find my brother. And at the same time, my brother was coming down to find me. There was the spirit of the enemy because of the things that my father had did. And I'm just going to throw a warning in here because I feel it coming up in my spirit, that the things that you do will impact your family life. They will impact your family life. The doors that you open in the supernatural realm will impact your family. And so it's so important to keep doors shut to evil things. Don't watch those demonic movies. Shut the door. Because every time, I remember watching The Exorcist as a little girl. I'm going to tell you something. That thing was so evil that I could feel the spiritual demonic forces coming through that television into my home. You got to be careful what doors you open. When you release joy and worship, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit's there. The presence of Christ is there. When you worship God in your home, when you read the scriptures and proclaim God in your home, we live in a natural realm, but God is supernatural, right? And so the gifts of the Spirit are supernatural by God's power through the Holy Ghost. So be careful what doors you open. Some open doors to pornography. And then they have generations in their home of young men and women that are into pornography. They open the doors of drugs. They open the doors of excessive spending. And then that comes into their home. I know I'm stepping on toes, but this is the reality. The doors you open, be careful, little eyes, what you see, little ears, what you hear. Be careful what doors you open. Personally, myself, it's very, very important that I honor my husband and respect him, especially as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If I don't honor and respect my husband, just as we've read in these scriptures, It opens up doors for the enemy to assault me and attack me. You have to be very, very careful what you're letting into your temple and into your home. My daddy would drink and womanize, and then all this stuff would come in. Now I'm in the home but with my brother, and we feel demonic forces in our home. We're just little kids. I meet my brother on the second floor in the kitchen, and he said, "Do you feel that in here?" And I said, "I do." And I said, "Let's go pray at mommy and daddy's bed." How did I know to pray at mommy and daddy's bed? I'm just a little kid. But that's where the Holy Spirit led me, by the supernatural power of God through the gift of discerning spirits. And we knelt down at my mommy and daddy's bed and we began to pray and cry out to God. I'll never forget it. And all of a sudden, I felt a wind. It made the hair stand up on my neck, and I heard the slamming of the door in the kitchen. Now, the devil doesn't have to do those things, but he was letting me know that he was there, and I knew he was there. But when we began to pray in the name of Jesus, and we began to cry out to God, even our little faith as children exposed the enemy, and he had to flee. The gift of discerning spirits is extremely important. These gifts that God has given to the church were meant to be used. And the only reason that we're not seeing them operate is because the abuses of the gifts. There have been many abuses of those gifts. And so instead of dealing with maybe immature people that doesn't have understanding and they're still learning and they still need to be taught and they grow, what we do is we just throw it out. There'll be no more tongues and interpretation of tongues. And let me tell you, it's almost eliminated from the church. Especially charismatic churches and Pentecostal churches who flow in the gifts of the Spirit. It's almost eliminated. You hardly ever, how many have you heard recently someone stand under the unction of the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues, and there be an interpretation? When I was a young girl, that was common. It was common. The Holy Spirit would come on my mom and she would begin to speak in tongues, and Sister Bessie over here had the interpretation. And I think the Lord is grieved that we have so pushed out His Spirit and we're functioning under man-made principles and man-made programs and man-made systems. And instead of it being about the charisma of the Holy Spirit, it's now about my charisma. And it's insulting to God. And that's why we're not seeing Him move. But in these last days, let me tell you something, all of that's going to change. Because times are going to be so desperate that it's going to have to be the Holy Spirit. Because man-made ways are not going to help people. And they're not helping Him now. Discerning of spirits. Just like this morning as we're here, we can use this morning as an example. It's not just the discerning of evil spirits, but the discerning of God's presence. The discerning of God's heart. Listen, I want God's heart. I want His heart. I want to please Him. Because I love Him. I want to pray His will. But in the Spirit, even this morning, I could feel His presence at different places in the service. I could feel right at the end of the first song, this joy. That just, it was just the joy. It was just the joy of having Him. Right? Isn't it about Him? He's our delight. Our portion and our reward is God Himself. You understand? That's what Christ did. He brought us to God. I can feel His joy. He delights in His people. He loves to hear their worship. He loves to make them happy. He loves to give them His joy. his peace, his comfort. I could feel his joy. That's the discerning of spirits, right? The Spirit of God, being able to discern it, being able to appreciate it when it's in here. Then at the end, right, at the service, as we're praying, and the Lord is dealing with me, speaking to me, I'm discerning the heart of the Lord. He's discerning, he's showing me through the Holy Spirit. I'm discerning his, Lord, what is the Holy Spirit saying? And he's giving me the answer. He's saying, you are discerning my cry for my people. Pray in accordance to my will and the word of God. The ability to discern God's presence and God's will, and the ability to be able to know the enemy and to recognize. That's the gift of discerning spirits. Let's stand up this morning as we close in this one section. Next week, we'll be going over the power gifts. The reason why I'm taking a little bit more time in addressing chapter 12 is because the church is functioning so often in carnality instead of the Holy Spirit of God, igniting the Word, igniting the Word to bring revelation and wisdom and insight, and allowing the Spirit to lead, and allow that we have become so carnal in our systems of men. Listen, the systems of men are all around us. People are operating. The school systems are under the systems of men. The government are under the systems of men. All of these things are operating out of the systems of men. God said, my church will be led by the Holy Spirit, and I am the head of the church, and they'll function by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. But we have brought the systems of men into the church. And we're not seeing a release of God's glory and his power. And we're not seeing the gifts of the Spirit operate because we're so carnal, like the Corinthian church was. And because we're not submitted unto God's leadership and his Spirit. I pray that as we approach the last days, as we're approaching the return of Christ, that as the book of Acts declares, that the Holy Spirit will be poured out in such a way, it will be undeniable. That the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the character of the fruit of the Spirit will return back unto the saints of God and the house of God, the people of God. And that we would voluntarily submit ourselves unto God for the Spirit to lead our lives. Just think how that would transform your marriage, the Spirit leading. Just think how that would transform the dynamics of your family life, the Spirit leading. Just think of how in the church we would have the Spirit moving, the Word ignited by the Holy Ghost and bringing revelation to everyone in the room, the saints of God operating out of the fruit of the Spirit, loving one another, covering one another, caring for one another, and allowing the grace gifts of God to flow through their life, impacting others. That's God's desire. Father, release your Holy Spirit upon us again. Afresh and anew, pour out your Spirit upon this generation. Afresh and anew, Lord, upon your people. There's no limit, Lord, to the Holy Spirit. We ask for more and more and more of the Holy Spirit. You said if your son comes to you and asks you for a fish, will you give him a serpent? If he asks you for bread, will you give him a stone? how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to them that ask for it? It is the gift of God through Christ. More of the Holy Spirit, Lord. More of the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our churches and in our homes and our families. The Holy Spirit is given to those who have been born again. And if you have not been born again of the water and of the Spirit, you will not make it into the kingdom of God. The surrendering of your heart unto God, the acknowledgement of your sin, and the realization that Christ paid the price so that you could have a relationship with God and be cleansed from your sin is essential in being filled with the Holy Spirit. If you haven't given your life over to Jesus and been filled with the Spirit, I pray that today would be the day that you do that. Today is the day of salvation. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. For those that have backslidden, they've walked away from God. It's a dangerous place to have tasted of the Spirit and to have known the good things of God and to trample upon the blood of Jesus. It's a dangerous place. So dangerous is the backslidden state that Paul says, or the writer, I should say, of Hebrews says, it would be better. You know, that you had never known God than to know Him and turn away from Him. If you're in that state of being backslidden, I pray that you would turn back into Christ. We don't know all the events that are getting ready to come upon the earth, but we know that it's closer to the return of Christ than when we first believed. Turn your hearts to the Lord while the Spirit is beckoning you to come and the Spirit is still pulling on hearts to come to the Lord. Respond to the tugging and the pulling of the Spirit. He will not put you down on the floor and force you to surrender. He presses on our heart. He moves us. At times we feel very uncomfortable, but if we will surrender to God, He will come. He will save us if we confess our sins, and He will transform our life as we submit unto God and surrender and receive the Holy Spirit of God. I pray that you'll do that today in Jesus' name, and amen.